inclusive and unbiased. And so instead of academic qualifications, we opt to rely on a set of guidelines that define the standards for content. The rest of what's needed is proficiency in languages and having kept up with your basic, with your public affairs, I mean, and freedom of expression and an internet connection, which not everybody, but many people in the world do have. As for the guidelines, they should be defined through a proper academic process. We haven't done that yet. What we have right now is the basic version, which we call a working set, which for a start we think already does contain most of the elements that are needed. As lead volunteer, I am myself studying in a Master of Social Sciences program right now, and I'm working on going to UBC for a Master of Journalism too. Both these programs include a thesis, and I'm hoping to be able to make these guidelines subject of my thesis in one or both of these programs. At the same time, we'll be happy to hear from graduate students or faculty who would like to help with the guidelines. So now you have a question.
Yeah. I think it's really interesting, the idea of sort of involving community in journalism in this way. And I think people are broadly like much more open to the idea of citizen journalism and the idea of hearing news from less of like an established source or, sort of like a legacy newspaper or whatever. That because of social media and other advances in technology, people are eager to hear sort of like grassroots reporting like that. And it's interesting, though, to hear that you're still like you are trying to filter it through this lens of journalism and of academic rigor, so that it's not just what someone posted on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, but there's sort of this level of screening, I guess.
Right, exactly. I think you described it very well, better than I could.
You mentioned that you're the lead volunteer. More specifically, what is your specific role or involvement with World Media in English?
Right. Well, before talking about my role, let me just say that the important things are what content we are producing, what our goals are, and what we are doing moving ahead towards our goals. And these are all driven by the guidelines. And so the outcomes of our activities will be the same, regardless of which or how many volunteers there are. Just like Facebook will do the same thing for you, even if you change all of their employees. The only difference here is that Facebook is a for-profit company, while our project is a volunteer-based civic campaign for public education and advocacy. And at that, a project that's properly grounded and conducted. And that's why SFPERG, Simon Fraser Public Interest Research Group Foundation, which is next door to you here, recognizes us as such and supports us with their resources. Now, as for my role, right now I'm the full-time organizer and administrator. I take care of the website and the social media accounts, and I've been creating promotion and outreach material and doing networking too. I'm also hoping to organize regular virtual meetings on Zoom soon for more organizing and content making. I've also been a journalist. I've done a news article about air pollution in a particular region in my native Iran. This article is on the news page of the website. I've also expanded our reporting about living environments and economy in this country in general into an awareness campaign with a Facebook page, which is also linked on the campaigns page of the website. I should say about this campaign, our awareness campaign about the situation of environments in Iran, which is about air, water, and generally economy and public health in this country. Even though we are talking about one particular country with 1% of the world population, for a combination of reasons, it's actually very important for people everywhere to care about it. From a strictly technical point of view, the severity of the problems demands research and can potentially be useful in other similar situations in the world. Socially and economically, for the people inside the country, problems of air pollution and water bankruptcy have long passed stages of warnings and dire predictions for the future. They have already pushed thousands and thousands of people into health problems and unemployment and displacement and poverty for years. And not because these consequences have been hard to avoid, but because of ineptitude and corruption in the government. And I should say that right now I'm speaking as a journalist, not as an organizer, because an organizer's role is only to facilitate and to make sure that content is being made according to the guidelines, not to express views or judgments like I'm doing now. So going back to why international attention to situation of environments and economy in Iran is important, it's true that there is mismanagement and corruption in many governments of the world, and we would like to work on any similar issues anywhere. But here, this government literally spends the natural resources that belong to the people to control and oppress them. And instead of being accountable to them, clings it to its survival with theft and geopolitical dealings and militarism outside. While at the same time, the people have been sacrificing their lives to get rid of the regime. Added to the fact that with more awareness and support from people outside, the people inside do have a good chance of winning. So probably, unlike many similar situations in the world, here we have millions of people facing urgent problems of economic and physical insecurity, both inside and outside the country, because of a particular despotic regime, while it is possible for international citizens to stop the situation and build democracy instead, with perfectly peaceful activities of informing themselves and taking civic actions from where they live. This may sound naive, or too optimistic at least, but it has actually been happening and giving results for a few months now.
Yeah, I mean, it's been easy to see recently in various news media platforms what's going on in Iran right now, the protests against the government, at least on a surface level, I guess. But it's very helpful to have, you know, like you're saying, the sort of grassroots stories that are coming from people who are there and are not having to have the message filtered through various state voices or state influenced voices. I was going to ask you about your citizen journalism project, Corruption and Murder of a Regime and the People's Uprising, because it's all connected, right?
Exactly. That just goes back to what you were saying about grassroots and kind of bigger picture stories about what's going on there, and more like with background, you know, and not just headlines, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so, to answer your question, as I'm sure you heard, you just said it, there have been uprisings and strikes going on in Iran for almost 4 months, aimed at toppling the regime this time. The regime that has controlled this country for 43 years and really held the majority of the people there hostage. There have been protest movements before in this country, and they have all been brutally suppressed, as is this one. But this time, the people's determination seems to surpass the forces of killings and torturing. Regardless of the outcomes of these uprisings in the near future, for a number of reasons, it's also very important that the story, or in fact the stories of what's happening there, reach the most numbers of people globally. The first reason is that there is an urgent humanitarian situation going on there right now, about which international citizens can take actions that can bring significant changes relatively quickly. This is a regime which, by accounts of most observers, is a dictatorship, which caters to, or at best is acceptable to, not more than 20% of the population. In other words, at best, only 20% of the 85 million people of this country are even willing to live with this regime. And the regime just arbitrarily arrests and imprisons and injures and tortures anyone who shows any kind of behavior they don't like. Right now, they have an estimated 19,000 people in jails who they have arrested in the past 4 months, in addition to many others they have arrested or disappeared before. And they have already killed more than 500 on the streets, hanged 4 in jails, and are sentencing more to execution every week. Their behavior isn't really different from those of any horrible terrorist groups, of which we have known many in the world, but with a big difference. They need to look like a civilized and legitimate government of a modern country that is worthy of interacting and dealing with the world. That's why they need to constantly make up stories and lies. If the truth is exposed to people outside, the least we can expect is that they will hold back their violence, and also that in the long run, they will have to change or go. The other important reason to learn and act about this country is its weight and connections geopolitically and socially and culturally with the world outside. And here, of course, we are not talking about the regime, but the country and its people as a whole. You could simply say that more peace and democracy in this country can only mean more peace and democracy in many other countries of the world. I'm happy to say that, especially with this last round of the people's uprisings, a lot of this truth exposing has been happening. And that's why the regime hasn't used their troops for shoot to kill, for example, on the streets, like they were doing 3 years ago when they killed, by some estimates, 1,500 people. Also, as a result of the same truth exposing, a lot has happened at the level of governments. Like the UN has thrown them out of their commission on the status of women, and they have appointed a fact-finding mission to independently report on their behavior with the people. Also, some Western countries are looking at or are actually putting the regime's Revolutionary Guard Corps on their list of terrorist organizations. This is basically the regime's parallel army, parallel to the country's original army that they have created, that propagates militarism and violence and plunders and abuses the country's economy. These international actions had been demanded from these Western governments since years back. What changed now is millions of people signing petitions and writing letters and talking on social media. And this is the power of information and action from international citizens, which I was talking about. But as far as what the international public have heard or seen on media, although they've seen much more than before, it's still been mostly just headlines, which have reached mostly a minority of people in the Western world who look at international news. And this time around, you could also say also people who follow the particular Western celebrities who have endorsed the uprisings on their social media. We want to make a documentary about the situation. And in terms of content, what we want to do, as we must try in any other reporting, is a bigger picture and facts on all sides so people can make their own judgments. And in terms of audiences, rather than just people who see international news on traditional media, with social media we can and do reach almost all demographics in most countries of the world, except in the minority of those countries where access is restricted. And I should say that the title you mentioned, Corruption and Murder of a Regime and the People's Uprising, belongs to another documentary which I made for my personal YouTube channel. And the documentary I'm working on for World Media in English won't be the same. For title, in fact, I think it would be better not to imply a final judgment about what this regime is, and it would be better to leave that judgment with the audiences. The reason that that video was mentioned on our posters is that it contains some of the bigger picture facts which haven't been covered in international media much, hoping that by seeing it, people would find more good reasons why a similar documentary should be made and seen. For people who haven't seen our poster, we recommend watching this video on YouTube. If in YouTube you search the title Corruption and Murder of a Regime and the People's Uprising, it usually comes up on top of your screen.
And so obviously watching that documentary or reading articles on world media in English are good ways that people can get involved. How else can listeners support or
sure.
get involved?
Well, here I want to talk generally, not just about, you know, content about Iran, because as I said, our platform is not just about Iran. It's mm-hmm. a global kind of a platform, and any content from any issues of human rights and democracy are important, and we are, you know, happy to hear about it. So here, when you ask how can listeners help, I want to talk generally, not just about content about this particular country, although this is, of course, very important right now as well. And people can support and help in two ways. One is joining our audiences, and two is helping with organizing and making content itself. To join our audiences, people can follow or subscribe to our social media, YouTube, Facebook, or Instagram, and these are all linked on our website. And please be sure to put your notifications on. Regarding content, to help with organizing and content, as people would know by now, what we are doing is very multidisciplinary. At the base of it is journalism, and the form of journalism that relies on languages and social and political sciences. Although, as we said earlier, for researching and creating content, people don't necessarily need to be in these fields. Having qualified people in these fields is, of course, always helpful, and once we have decided on a particular project, if we need more qualified people, we can try to find them. Next, multimedia design and production are very important, because in the age of internet, people don't want to read anything anymore. our raw content, so to speak, is usually a collection of photos and video clips and written text that needs to be narrated or put on the screen. We can use help from people in multimedia to put these pieces together in high-quality videos to go on our YouTube channel. After a video is posted on YouTube, we will advertise it on our Instagram and Facebook and set up a live event on the three platforms simultaneously where we can talk with our audiences in real time about the posted content. And later, we will try to make the live content, the live events regular, regardless of whether we have new posts or not. People in IT could help with technical aspects of these events as well as with developing the website. And generally, people in communication or social media development could help with improving and maximizing our reach and interaction with audiences globally. And last but not least is sharing and networking. The potential size of our audiences is the billions of people in the world who visit the social media every day and see content in English. Our advertisings have generally brought 10 times more reactions compared to the average. But not only we don't have the money to advertise to so many people, advertising by itself doesn't work as good as organic sharing. In any case, you don't have to promise us anything or commit any particular amount of your time. You can just come to our virtual meetings from the comfort of your house and talk with us a little bit more to see if there is something you'd like to do. Also, some of our projects may qualify for credit or as assignment as part of people's coursework, and we can discuss that in our meetings as well. To send you a Zoom invitation, we just need your email address. You can send us a blank email with mailing list in the subject line, and needless to say, we treat your email address and all other personal information confidentially. Our email address is a long one, but this is all on our website homepage under contact. So if you go to our website homepage and then there is a button that says contact, and our website is easy to remember. It's worldmediainenglish.org. Again, worldmediainenglish.org.
I can definitely relate to the idea of, you know, you need all sorts of people. From any background, and anyone who has any interest in the work you're doing, like, that is the most important qualification.
Exactly.
is an interest to be involved, because every organization is now a tech organization, right? You need a website, you need people who can work in media. I went to school here at SFU for archaeology and ended up here at the radio station because if you have the interest and you want to start writing or contributing or helping out in some way, that's the key, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the nice thing about our project is that it's pretty limitless. I mean, people can even propose their own content if they can come to our meetings, and if they see there's nothing that we can give them at the point, they can actually go find content, because there's a lot of human rights and democracy issues in the world everywhere, you know. And so, I mean, there is a lot of content, and we would welcome people to just come and propose content, and that creates work for them as well, you know. And this idea of, you know, talking to faculty and talking to students themselves to make this part of their course credit, you know, and if that happens, that's also great, because it won't be like extra time that people are spending because it's part of their school time, right?
Sure. But I mean, and even if you don't get school credit for it, it's still experience, right?
Absolutely.
It's still
absolutely
an opportunity to produce some journalism.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And also, if people who don't have any of these skills, because after all, these are, you know, specialized skills, a lot of them, they can just network and share, you know, find in your family, friends, find people that want to do it, or just share on your social media, talk about the whole thing, you know, with the people that you know. That's also very important, because, you know, we can produce content, but if it's not seen by many people, you know, it won't do anything, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, spreading the word is key.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay, anything else you'd like to cover about World Media in English?
Sure, thank you. Well, we've talked about a project that's new and multidisciplinary and fairly broad in its potentials and goals. And we've talked about different aspects of it. So I just like to summarize for our listeners to say that we are developing a web-based platform for a certain kind of citizen journalism that is based on translating to English media that originally has been published in world languages for sharing and discussion of important issues of human rights and justice and democracy. Considering that the world is a global village now, benefits and even necessity of doing this would be obvious to people. But for this project and its good results to grow, more than a small number of people doing a lot, it helps to have a large number of people doing not necessarily a lot, but even a little. And we are lucky that with internet and social media, this is quite possible now, considering that worldwide there are, by low estimates, 1.5 billion people on the internet who speak English. And among these people, there are at least millions who are able to research and create content for this purpose. One way for people to help is following our content on social media and taking part in the discussions. Another way is helping with making content or outreach. And this is actually easier for our projects compared to what may be needed for many other kinds of nonprofit work. We are not asking for money, and people just need to come on Zoom with their audio only if they don't like to share their video at a convenient time in the week. And in these meetings, we'll discuss with them individually the possible projects they may want to help with. These projects can be big or small. They can be in people's field of study or work or anything else they want to do. Or they can be about outreach, sharing, and networking. Thank you, Jesse.
Great. Well, thanks, Ramtin. And the website, again, is worldmediainenglish.org.
Exactly.
All one word. And, yeah, people can either read some stories or find out how to get involved there.
Exactly. Thank you so much, Jesse, for this.
Oh, very happy to have you here.
Thank you.
You just heard my conversation with Ramtin Bashi, lead volunteer for World Media in English. Visit worldmediainenglish.org to see the work of Ramtin and others. Thanks for spending this hour with me, Jesse, filling in for Sista C for this episode of Speak Up, Listen Up, Act Upon on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. Charlotte will be back soon, but in the meantime, just remember that whenever people ask her what time it is, it's always love time, poem time.
Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, time for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, time for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, time for poems, poets and singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Poem time, love time, time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, times for words from heaven to shine. Love time, poem time, time for words to pattern and rhyme. Love time, poem time, times for words to wash the wounds, bind the lashes and play bassoon. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Time for poems, poets, singers, time to untie all life's ringers. Time for you to reveal to me, unravel all your mystery. Time for joy and utter grace, rest from toiling in this place. Place of poems, place of words, place for love instead of swords. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time. Love time, poem time, poem time, love time, love time, poem.
Let's get digital.
Stay involved online this semester with CJSF, SFU's independent campus community radio station. From writing album reviews to producing video and audio, there are many ways you can volunteer remotely for CJSF.
Be the media.
I'm wondering how to start volunteering for CJSF.
Simply sign up online and go to cjsf.ca/signup. Or contact our volunteer coordinator, Noel, at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca. That is vol4cjsf@sfu.ca. For more information on how to become a CJSF volunteer, as well as the latest on new volunteer orientations and volunteer opportunities at CJSF.
CJSF 90.1.
It's diverse, independent, and yours.